Welcome to More Than Wealth with Darren Gold and Samantha Hotchkins from the Gold Wealth Management Group. In this podcast, we help business executives, business owners, and high net worth individuals navigate the multifaceted world of wealth planning. No matter how complex the situation, we provide financial advice and guidance to instill greater confidence in pursuing your life's goals. By leveraging the vast resources of UBS and collaborating with a team of external specialists, we'll delve into both basic and complex planning topics. Beyond the numbers, we'll also explore the stories behind the wealth. By interviewing business owners and thought leaders in our community, we aim to share insightful and inspiring tales of success. Join us on this journey where we explore wealth and the compelling stories behind it on More Than Wealth.
The guest on this podcast is Justin Waring, a certified financial planner and senior total wealth strategist at UBS Financial Services, based in New York, New York. With over 13 years of experience in the financial industry, he has been with UBS since 2009. In his role, Justin focuses on providing comprehensive wealth management strategies to clients, integrating investment planning with broader financial goals. He frequently shares his expertise through various platforms, including the UBS On Air podcast. His insights are regularly featured in UBS publications, where he addresses financial planning topics relevant to a wide audience. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Gold and Samantha Hotchkins.
Welcome back to More Than Wealth. I'm Darren Gold.
And I'm Sam Hotchkins. Today, we're diving into a framework that simplifies financial planning and puts clarity around the purpose of your wealth. Joining us is Justin Waring, Senior Total Wealth Strategist at UBS, to discuss the Wealth Way Strategy, a powerful approach to managing your money across three key buckets: money for now, money for later, and money for the next generation. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So part of what we do here on More Than Wealth is identify what we feel are gaps in traditional financial planning. And one of those gaps that we often see is the disconnect between accumulated wealth and desired goals. You know, by the time prospective clients come to us, they've done a great job accumulating wealth, but what's generally lacking is an effective plan to organize that wealth around their goals. Typically, we see them focusing on creating the wealth, less on harnessing, which is understandable. You know, we're working, we're raising families, and we don't really focus on as much the harnessing of the wealth. It's more on the creating of the wealth. There's no roadmap. And this is where the Wealth Way strategy can really work its magic. And we're very excited to have the UBS czar of goals-based planning joining us today. So Justin, let's just dive right in. So what exactly is the Wealth Way strategy, and why is it such an effective approach to financial planning?
Thanks again for having me. And I'll start off by saying you identified exactly the issue. When there's not an alignment between your goals and your investments, there's the risk that you're going to fail to meet your goals. And another thing that you mentioned, I think, is really important is that during the accumulation phase of our lives, investing is easy. Market drawdowns are a favor. They let us buy at yesterday's prices, and they help us to accumulate more wealth faster. They're still painful during your working years, but the relationship between your wealth and down markets transforms in retirement. And the UBS Wealth Way framework, by aligning your goals with your investments, aims to make sure that your goals are not at the whims of what the stock market does in the short term. And so obviously the first thing we need to do is have a very deep understanding of what an investor's goals and values are. And then we use that deep understanding to build a portfolio around those goals. And what we aim to do is segment wealth into three strategies: a liquidity strategy to help you maintain your lifestyle, a longevity strategy to help you improve your lifestyle, and a legacy strategy to improve the lives of others. And just like Sam said at the outset, like, this is wealth that is going to be in excess of what you need during the rest of your life, which means that it's unshackled from short-term market movements as well. This is money that can be, you know, dedicated for very, very long-term wealth accumulation, and therefore you don't have to worry as much about market drawdowns.
Yeah, that's great. And you hit on something that's very important to us and our team, and that's that discovery meeting. How important it is to really drill down. And the question we ask clients is, you know, what is the purpose of your wealth? Sometimes lose sight of that. You know, we're working so hard, you know, we're investing, we're saving, and we're just not as focused on what we're trying to accomplish with our wealth as we are on actually making the wealth. So let's go into the different buckets and strategies that you mentioned. So, you know, when you think about each one of these different buckets, can you just start with the liquidity bucket? Tell us a little bit about that and how that works.
So I like to say that in a 3 to 5 year time horizon, anything can happen in the stock market. This is what I like to call the danger zone for investing. We have seen dramatic rallies over 3 to 5 year time horizons, but we've also seen more than 50% drawdowns over 3 to 5 year time horizons. And when we look at every past bear market, which is essentially every time the S&P 500 dropped by at least 20%, we have seen that a well-balanced portfolio of stocks and bonds has usually fully recovered all of its losses after 3 to 5 years. And that means that this is the time horizon that we really need to worry about market drawdowns and market volatility. If your time horizon is longer than 5 years, you're almost always going to have enough time to wait out a drawdown and only sell when the market is fully recovered. So the liquidity strategy is really there for any spending you need to take out of your portfolio in the next 3 to 5 years. Make sure that it's earmarked for with assets and borrowing capacity that is immune from market risk. And what I mean by that is cash, high quality bonds, and safe borrowing capacity. And by segmenting this part of our wealth and putting it aside, it helps us to dedicate the rest of our wealth for growth and income over the long run. And it also helps us to answer the question, what if? Anytime some headline comes up, what if the Fed hikes rates? What if the Syria turns into a global conflict? What happens if we have a recession? The answers to all of these questions are, if that happens, we'll have a recession, we'll have a bear market, and your liquidity strategy is going to fund your spending. It doesn't matter what happens to the stock market. You're going to have the cash flow you need to meet your spending. And so we don't have to worry about those risks. In fact, if they do happen, we'll be able to use the rest of your wealth to take advantage of any opportunities that they bring in terms of lower prices and better buying opportunities.
I think that this, and we talk, Sam and I talk about this all the time, this is the most, one of the most impactful aspects of the Wealth Way strategy. And you know, we had a client meeting yesterday, and the client asked, you know, what do you think the market's going to do in the next 6 months? And we take them right back to the Wealth Way strategy. And we say, honestly, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. If anyone tells you otherwise, they're fooling you. You know, the volatility of the market is not something that anybody can really predict effectively. So that having that three-year bucket of liquidity, safe money, is such a great peace of mind. So it's such a great strategy for us.
That's right. It's better to prepare than to predict.
Totally. Let's move on. A second bucket. So replenishing liquidity bucket. Let's talk about that longevity bucket.
So the longevity strategy is what a lot of people think mostly about during the course of their accumulation phase. You're building up enough wealth that is going to generate enough income and growth to replace your salary in retirement. This, of course, is, you know, a big, big part of the strategy that you need to meet the rest of your lifetime goals. Now, the question, of course, is how much is enough for this part of my wealth? And in order to evaluate that, we really have to say, okay, well, we can't just rely on markets being healthy in every environment. You only get to live once. And so for better or worse, you need to prepare for almost the worst case scenario. You need to prepare for a market environment that just sucks. And obviously in your working years, the best in market you could possibly get is a terrible market environment where stocks don't rally at all, because that means many, many years you can be buying at really cheap prices. And so the worst case scenario for a retirement market is a market that just goes nowhere, right? And doesn't provide growth and appreciation or experiences several drawdowns. And so we want to build enough longevity strategy assets that you can sustain your spending needs for the rest of your lifetime, even if markets give you poor returns. And that means that we need to evaluate thousands of possible market scenarios, evaluate how that would impact your life, and then come up with a number to say, okay, this is sufficient, even in the worst case scenarios, to fund your lifetime spending. And really, then also, we want to build a portfolio that prioritizes consistent growth and income. And so the most consistent form of income would be something like an annuity. You give an insurance company a lump sum payment on the day that you retire, and then they promise to pay you a certain stream of income for the rest of your life. The problem is it's quite expensive to have certain income for the rest of your life. Also, it's pretty expensive to get one that protects you against inflation, right? And so most of the time we want to build a diversified portfolio of stocks and bonds that accept some market volatility in order to meet your lifetime goals more cheaply than just going out and buying an annuity. And so we need to build a balanced portfolio that is going to give you enough access to growth that you can continue to improve your lifestyle through the rest of your life and make sure that you're protected against inflation, but also enough bonds and stability that it's not going to be derailed by market losses. And the liquidity strategy obviously helps with this as well. The liquidity strategy is buying enough patience for the longevity strategy to experience quite robust losses and still be okay because it'll have time to recover. But the longevity strategy itself does need to be invested in a balanced approach that has both stocks and bonds and alternative investments in order to, you know, try to provide the best return per unit of risk, per unit of volatility.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, let's just summarize. So if you look at the thinking of the liquidity bucket, you've got money, safe money. And that safe money, you know, depending on your plan, is typically, you know, 3, maybe 4 years, depending on the situation. And we'll move that liquidity bucket along with you through your entire life. So you always have that 3 to 4 years worth of liquidity, and we're constantly filling and replenishing that bucket as time progresses. And then on the longevity side, what we're having is the money that will last you the rest of your life. So this is money that's going to need to grow with inflation and accomplish your life goals. That's going to be maybe a 60-40 portfolio. You're going to take on some growth. And what I like about that is that, you know, you can, you're more likely to take on a little bit more risk with that longevity bucket because you know you've got that safe money within that liquidity bucket. Mm-hmm. And that to us is very impactful in conversations with clients. So the next bucket, the next strategy is going to be the legacy bucket. Can you just talk a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. So once you've funded your liquidity strategy and your longevity strategy, you know that you have enough wealth to meet all of your lifetime goals with a very high probability of success. And we've stress tested it and we've asked ourselves, what else would I want to spend money on? And now for some families, at some point in their retirement, you're likely to have more money, money that isn't needed for those lifetime spending goals. So a lot of people will have a certain amount, even at the outset of retirement, that is excess of what they need for their lifetime goals. But since we're planning for the worst case scenarios in the longevity strategy and the liquidity strategy, as your retirement life goes on and markets don't experience the worst possible scenarios, your safety buffer is going to grow and grow and grow. And so your legacy strategy, the amount that you can devote to needs that go beyond your own lifetime, is just going to be a bigger and bigger share of your portfolio. Also, the amount that you need in liquidity and longevity will shrink as you approach the end of your life expectancy. And so it's also going to mean more and more of your wealth goes to legacy strategy. And so when we think about the legacy strategy, it can be invested more aggressively than the rest of your wealth because it doesn't need to worry about what we call sequence of returns risk, the risk that a withdrawal paired with a drawdown in the market will deplete your assets before you need it, those assets. Because there's no needs tied to the legacy strategy, it can take on more risk and more return opportunity. So it will also grow faster than the rest of your wealth. And so as you think about how your overall portfolio might look like over the course of your retirement, you'll start with a very large allocation to liquidity and longevity, and your wealth will continue to grow throughout your retirement years. But a lot of that growth will be in the legacy side. And so if that part of your portfolio is, let's say, 80% stocks, 20% bonds, your stock allocation might actually go up over time because more and more of your money is in the legacy strategy, which is great because these assets can be earmarked to give to your children, your grandchildren, to charity, and you're able to get that growth without endangering your own lifestyle needs. You're putting yourself first. You're making sure that you're okay. You know, like you put your mask on before you help others. And, but you're also able to build significant wealth through the course of your retirement. If you think about it, retiring at 65, many people are going to live 30, 40 years into retirement. That's an extremely long period of time. And if you don't allocate to stocks during that period of time, if you take a very, very conservative approach to investing, you're missing out on a huge amount of return and growth potential and a huge potential to add value to other people's lives. And so legacy strategy is one of the aspects that I think gets the most attention for people in retirement, because once you know that your own financial circumstances is taken care of, it really does reorient you to think about the purpose of retirement and the value of the wealth that you've made, so that you're more oriented towards helping others and making a difference in your community and helping out your family.
Yeah, no, that's great. And we often say to clients, you know, when we look at, we establish that legacy bucket, one of the first things we say is like, this is generational money. This is money that will outlive you. Why do we have an allocation that is based on your lifetime? Mm-hmm. We should really be thinking about an allocation that may be, you know, 20 years past your life expectancy, because of the fact that this is going to be generational family money, and use that money to take on more risk, maybe something that's a little bit less liquid, could be private equity, could be something that's going to generate higher returns, but have a little bit more risk. So when you separate the legacy, liquidity, and the longevity, I think it helps to create a peace of mind. We do see, you know, there's like a light that goes off. Clients do respond to it. So that's great.
Yeah, for us, even in like the financial plan, I mean, right now we are taking clients through year end and just having really great conversations with them about their goals and aspirations and expenditures. And for us, we even friendly name every account: liquidity, longevity, legacy. So people know exactly how things are being invested, what's replenishing that longevity, how the legacy is doing. So we really break it down for people. And I think that just puts a peace of mind with people who don't really care about investments, but they want to know kind of the management behind it and the process and the strategy. So we really break it down for people. And I really think, like Darren said, it just brings that peace of mind and the empowerment of really understanding the investments and the strategy behind each of those buckets.
This is a very intuitive strategy. Why do you think it resonates so well with people?
Well, like Sam said, I think that allocating certain dollars for certain goals and time horizons is something we do automatically. It gives us peace of mind because it's an intuitive approach to thinking about risk. You know, we know that markets are riskier in the short term. If you've ever taken money and put it in a jar on the fridge for a Disneyland trip, you know, that's called mental accounting. Yep. It's a bias that we all have. We think of some dollars in our lives differently than other dollars. Many people have a checking account separate from their investment accounts. We already do this. And so having a methodology that tells us, helps us calculate how much should go into each strategy is really helping us take that intuition and marry it with real detailed rational thought, so that our portfolios are intuitive and, you know, objectively rational, so that there's never that disconnect between our goals and our dollars. And also, you know, during a drawdown environment, I mean, no one really worries too much about the portfolio when the market's up 30%. But when the market's down 30%, and you can see my liquidity strategy is holding its value, maybe even making a little bit of money because it's invested in bonds and interest rates are falling and bond prices are rising. So I know that the money that I need is safe. And then I look at my longevity strategy and I can see that it's lost a little bit of money temporarily, but it's okay. It's losing less than the market. And then I look at the legacy strategy and I see that it's down in line with the market. I know that I don't have to worry about the legacy strategy. It's going to be fine because I'm not going to need to touch that for 20 plus years. The longevity strategy, I know that I have enough time to let that recover. And the liquidity strategy, I know that even if I needed the money tomorrow, it's safe. It's not tied to the market drawdown. And so it really does transform the experience of market volatility. And this works with families. It works with institutions where the board has a fiduciary responsibility. I can't tell you how often, you know, people suddenly think that they need to take action during a bear market, and I need to change my risk level. I need to do something. That action bias can be quite helpful on an evolutionary perspective. This is how we maybe became such a successful species, but it doesn't translate very well into investing.
That is so, so true. You know, we talk about that all the time. I mean, the biggest threat to our investment performance over the long term is ourselves. I mean, we get in our own way. Fight or flight works great when you're, you know, running from a tiger. But when you're looking at investing, it really, it hurts you. It does more damage than good. So you're spot on. Something we talk about a lot.
So let's talk about, so if this is a whole new concept for somebody, a new client maybe, how do they put this into action? Like, what steps do they need to take to start implementing the Wealthway strategy?
So the first thing is to really talk to your financial advisor and your family about what your goals are. You can't do anything until you know what your goals are. When are you planning to retire? How much are you planning to spend in retirement? And are there any goals that you have for the amount of wealth that you want to leave to your children? Is there a minimum? Is there a maximum? Some families do not want to leave more than a certain amount to their family because they don't want to spoil the next generation. And once you have a good idea of what those goals are, you can start to size liquidity and longevity, and you can get an idea of how much is excess. Most families are going to need to take a couple of years into retirement before they actually start giving away money, because it can take a while to get acquainted with what your retirement life is going to look like.
Yeah.
Get a deep understanding of how your priorities are going to change. Some families decrease their spending in retirement. Others increase their spending in retirement. And so we do recommend, before you start giving away a bunch of money and actually you're using the legacy strategy money to fund philanthropic requests or money given to the rest of your family, you really want to make sure you have a deep understanding of what your retirement lifestyle is going to look like. And then, so maybe a couple of years into retirement, you start to get a really good idea of what your spending looks like. And then you can start to actually move money in the legacy strategy outside of your own taxable estate, for example, to protect against estate taxes. Or you can start to give it away to charity, or you can start to make annual gifts to your kids and grandkids. And so that is the best way to start into the Wealthway framework. And it's never done, right? You're always revisiting things. You're always making adjustments. And so I just would really recommend that you view it as a process as opposed to a destination. The Wealthway is going to change with you as you learn more about yourself and learn more about what your priorities are throughout retirement.
Yeah, I love that. The process rather than a destination. It's so true. I mean, we update financial plans twice a year, three times a year, and they are constantly changing. And we look back 5 years ago, like, this is what your plan looked like. These are the goals that you told us, and it's completely changed. So it's an evolving kind of conversation and updating goals and all of that. So yeah, I love that.
And just a plug for UBS and for your team, Justin, you know, the infrastructure that you built around methodology is outstanding, you know, just in terms of being able to just run all of the Wealthway, the liquidity, longevity, and the legacy strategy within the client's financial plan and all the supporting documents that go with it. It's fantastic. So keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Right. So let's just close out. Let me just add a few final thoughts. You know, the Wealthway strategy is something that our team uses with every single client. And it's just a way for us to really connect the dots in a way that clients aren't connecting the dots. You know, typically we see clients that come to us, they have single asset allocation, trying to accomplish multiple goals. And as we discussed today, you know, that can be fraught with challenges. So being able to connect those goals directly to your wealth is really just a game changer for us. And it's been such a great addition to our team. So liquidity, longevity, legacy, we are available to discuss any of these strategies. We have a tremendous amount of resources around them. And thank you, Justin, today for sharing your wealth of information. And we're happy to have you on the team.
Yes. Thank you, Justin. But before we let you go, we have a tradition on More Than Wealth is to ask our guests one health and wellness tip, because at the end of the day, wealth is nothing if you're not healthy enough to enjoy life. So Justin, what is one health and wellness routine, something that you do daily that you could not live without?
Well, I think first of all, routines are really important in general because they take the sting out of things that we don't want to do.
Agreed.
You identify this is what I do every day. And mine is I love to listen to audiobooks. And when I have a book that I really, really want to listen to, I make myself listen to it while exercising. That's the only time I'm allowed to listen to it. And so the more I'm hooked on a book, the more I exercise.
I love that.
Exactly. I think they call it like temptation pairing or something like that, where you want to make sure.
Incentive-based exercise.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was great.
Yep, it's great. So great. Well, why don't we close it out? As we always say, we're just getting started on this journey together. Thank you to Justin today for everything that you've shared. And be sure to subscribe. Don't miss out on future episodes where we dive deeper into building a life that's about more than wealth. For Sam Hodgkins, I'm Darren Gold. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on More Than Wealth.
Thank you for listening to the More Than Wealth podcast. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Visit our website at advisors.ubs.com/thegoldgroup or give us a call at 617-261-2662. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Gold Wealth Management Group. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.